you.
And also with you.
Happy Epiphany.
Happy Epiphany.
It just doesn't flow, does it? We've had our 12 days of Christmas. Technically, the 6th of January, yesterday, was Epiphany, but we are transferring this not minor festival, but major feast in our church here to today, and we remember and commemorate and celebrate the visit of the wise men, the Magi, and how they searched diligently to find the baby Jesus. We pray that God would richly bless us today as we remember and hear His Word, receiving His gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning, our opening hymn, 395, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright, one of the great classic hymns and a great Epiphany hymn. We'll sing the first four verses at the beginning and pick up the last verses at the end. We'll follow Divine Service Setting 3 today, page 184 and following. Worship insert, readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You guided the Magi by a star, that You directed them to the proper object of their worship, the babe, born of the Virgin Mary, King of kings, Lord of lords. Heavenly Father, teach us today to seek that same Jesus, true God and true man, born for us to live, to die, to rise again, to give us life and life everlasting. It's in His holy and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 395, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you. Divine Service, setting number 3, page 184, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit printed on your bulletin insert. We chant them together. with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, who know you by faith, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak casual for this day. Those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The epistle is from Ephesians, chapter 3. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it now has been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw His star when it rose, and have come to worship Him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We now sing our hymn of the day, hymn 397. Please be seated.
Thank you.
our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation, this celebration of the feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. Based on the gospel reading that we just heard, Matthew 2, 1 to 12, especially these words. And King Herod sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, finding Jesus. When you have found Jesus, then come and tell me. There are many people that use this kind of language with regard to their faith or their faith walk in church, talking about when they found Jesus. One of the classic examples of this is from a movie that's hard to believe, almost 25 years old now, a movie with Tom Hanks and the Princess Bride, Robin Wright, Forrest Gump, one of the all-time clever, classic movies. There's a scene with Forrest and Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan has been saved from death, but he wishes he was dead. His life is miserable. He has no legs. He has no purpose for living. And he blames Forrest. They're celebrating the holidays and specifically the new year. A new year when you put the old things behind and you look forward to everything good and new. And Lieutenant Dan can't think of anything positive in his life. All of the bottles that have drowned his sorrows are empty. And finally, out of sheer desperation, he looks at Forrest. And in a rare moment of honesty, Lieutenant Dan says, "Forrest, have you found Jesus?" And in a way that only the simpleton Forrest Gump could answer, he says, "Lieutenant Dan, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." Many times, we act as if Jesus is lost. And it's our job to find him. We have a lot of people looking for Jesus in our text today. We have the Magi, the wise men that are looking for Jesus. We have King Herod that's looking for Jesus. We have the leaders of the church helping King Herod. They're looking for Jesus. What about us? What about us? Maybe in our misery or helplessness or hopelessness, we want something. And maybe this Jesus could actually help. But where is he? Doesn't he know my problems? Doesn't he know my bank account? Doesn't he know my hurt, my feeling? Where is this Jesus? If only we could find Jesus, if he exists. If only we could find Jesus, then I could get my act together. Then I would be at peace with myself. Then my family wouldn't be broken. Then, if only. My friends, today, God's Word teaches us about finding Jesus. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would open our hearts and our minds to hear what God is teaching us today. First of all, there are so many things that are not said in these words from Matthew chapter 2. People through the centuries have found it necessary to add all kinds of things to the story of the visit of the wise man, the Magi. Nobody likes a spoil sport or a party pooper. However, there's a reason why We Three Kings of Orient Are is not in our hymnal. Most of what is in that hymn isn't in the Bible. How easy it is to convince ourselves, either because of song or legend or movies, that something that didn't really happen is true. We do not know how many magi or wise men there are. Maybe 3, maybe 2, maybe 20. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. They certainly weren't kings. They were magi. It's where we get our word magician. But don't take that wrong. These were the learned men of the day. They were stargazers, astronomers and astrologers that all kind of worked into one. The great philosophers of their time, asking the kind of questions that perplex all people at all times. Who am I? Why am I here? Is there a God? Is there an afterlife? These are the kind of questions that philosophers deal with and wrestle with all the time. And there's a little bit of a philosopher in every one of us. These were the high and mighty. We don't know that they came from the Orient. They came from the East. Probably Babylon, but we don't know that either. What we do know is that in their stargazing, all of a sudden they saw a star that wasn't there before. They scoured their scholarly papers and either directly from the Holy Scriptures or from someone that pointed them to the Holy Scriptures, they were pointed to a prophecy that said when the Messiah would be born, the King of the Jews, a star would appear. We don't know if God made a new star, if He added special brilliance to a star that was already there, or as many scholars think 2 stars had a special configuration that gave the appearance of a new star at that time and at that place. Doesn't matter. They saw this light from above. They saw this star and they knew. They knew because God had told them through the Word. They knew that a new king was born. So, what did they do? They didn't write a book. They didn't go on tour touting their new discovery. No. Because it wasn't about them. And it wasn't about their discovery. They had to go and see and worship. And so they began a trek to, of course, find Jesus. They followed the star. Now, the next time we have a bright night and lots of stars, take a look up into the sky. Decide that you're going to follow one of those stars. Where are you going to end up? My friends, this is not an easy task. You can follow a star and end up 1,000 different places. As they journeyed and as they followed this bright star, they found themselves heading toward Jerusalem. And this is where their reason kicked in. You know, we want things to make sense. We want things to be logical. We want to be able to figure out things. That's that little bit of a philosopher in us as well. We want our life, we want our decision, we want our choices, we want our future all to work out. We want it to make sense. We use our reason and our logic, and so did the Magi. They used their reason and logic, and they figured, well, we're looking for the King of the Jews. We're headed toward Jerusalem. Guess what? That's where the King of the Jews lives. So, they continued on to Jerusalem. And as they continued on to Jerusalem, they no longer saw the star. They didn't need it. Why? Because they had their own reason. They had their own logic. They get to Jerusalem, and the whole city is abuzz as these magi, these wise men, the wisest of the wise, come parading in. I scanned all these verses in Matthew 2. I couldn't see anything about names like Balthazar and Melchior and all these things that are in legend and tradition. It's not in the Bible. I scanned all these things looking for how many camels they had. It's not here. But what is here is that they came to Jerusalem looking for the King of the Jews. The whole city was abuzz. Why? Because there was no baby. There was no new King of the Jews. And the King of the Jews wasn't even a Jew. Herod, he was a foreigner. He was an imposter. He was a puppet. He was mean and evil and ruthless. If anybody got in his way, he took care of them once and for all, even his own family members. The whole town was abuzz because they did not want a riot. They did not want a religious coup. Herod, like so many evil people do, plays it cool. He doesn't want to escalate matters. So he calls them privately into his room. He needs more information. He needs more details. He doesn't want to collude with the Russians. He wants to collude with these guys from the East. He wants to know what's going on. So, Herod does almost the unthinkable. When Herod the king heard this, that the Magi wanted a new king, or were worshiping or seeking a new king, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Herod, the foreigner, the evil, mean, wicked king, he knew that the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, God's Word, spoke of the Christ. He also knew that he wasn't it. Why would Herod search the Scriptures? Because he knew that they were true. My friends, this is a very, very difficult truth to grasp. There are many people, like King Herod, who know, or at least fear, that the Bible is the Word of God, that the Holy Scriptures are true. But they will not believe it. They will not believe that it is true for them. They will make it their mission. They will make it their life's goal to attack and destroy every word and everything that the Scriptures speak about. it was true 2,000 years ago at the hand of King Herod, and it is true today. You don't have to look very hard in a bookstore, on the History Channel, on YouTube, to try to find some learned scholar, some great philosopher, some Bible teacher who's going to tell you about all the mistakes or all the errors in the Bible. You don't have to look very hard to find people that have it their mission in life to make fools out of you and me for actually believing that the Word of God is true. Herod went to the Scriptures to find Jesus. But he wasn't looking for a Savior. He wasn't looking for a king. He was looking for something to tear down and destroy. And by the end of the chapter, we see the height of his evil when all the babies in and around Bethlehem are put to death. How crazy must you be to kill a baby to keep your own power and position? How obsessed must you be to kill a baby so that you can have a name and a reputation for yourself? My friends, there are people that do the same thing and worse every day because they do not want to acknowledge and believe that the Bible is true and that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Herod goes to the scribes, the priests, the people that work with the Holy Scriptures every day. These scribes and priests knew the prophecies about the Christ. They were easily able to point to Herod and to the Magi. Oh, Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world? Well, He's going to be born in Bethlehem. It says so right here. My friends, if you really believed that the Savior of the world, a new king, was going to be born 10, 15 miles away, don't you think maybe you would have got on your donkey or your camel or got out your newest sandals and made the journey to see? How sad it is when people in the church who have the Bible, who have God's Word, who have the Holy Scriptures, whether they be the people in the pew or the people in the pulpit, they have the Bible, but they don't really believe it. It's a game. It's a show. My friends, God's Word points us to Jesus. The Magi heard the Word of God. They put their reason aside. It makes no sense, reasonably, that the King of the Jews, the Savior, would be in Bethlehem instead of Jerusalem. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make reasonable, logical. These great philosophers put aside their great learning, and humbled themselves before the Word of God. And they went. They went all by themselves. The scribes and the priests and the leaders of the church, they didn't care. They didn't follow. Herod, he was busy plotting his dastardly deed. He didn't follow. And as soon as the wise men, hearing the Word of God and believing the Word of God, turned their backs on their reason and Jerusalem and headed toward Bethlehem, there was the star, pointing not in some generic way, but guiding them to the exact spot where Jesus was. My friends, the same is true for us today. God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible points us not in some vague, generic way to some God who is out there, some higher power or some deity. God's Word points us to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's Word points us to the Savior from our sin, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, humbling Himself under God's holy law, taking our sin all the way to Calvary's cross, overcoming sin, death, and the grave for us, ascended high in heaven, but He has not left us as orphans, as if we have to grope around and look for Him. Jesus is not lost. He is exactly where He promises to be. Wherever God's Word is, there is Jesus. Wherever God's Word is taught or proclaimed in its truth and purity, there is Jesus and all the power and forgiveness that He promises. Wherever God's gifts are administered according to the command and promise of God, there is Jesus. Jesus for you. Forgiveness. Life and salvation. Let's be honest. We pay a lot of lip service. And then we act like Jesus is nowhere to be found. We let our reason and logic and emotions trump the Word of God when things aren't going exactly the way we want in our lives. And sometimes, because we know what God's Word says, we will do everything humanly possible to shut it out of our ears, out of our hearts, out of our lives. My friends, today is the day, based on God's Word, to come clean before God. Poor, miserable sinners that we are. To come clean and to learn from the example of both the high and mighty Magi and the lowly shepherds that we heard about 2 weeks ago on Christmas Eve. Doesn't matter what our station in life is. The lowest of the low, like the shepherds, the highest of the high, like the Magi, and all the rest in between, like you and me, Jesus has come to give life and life everlasting for you. For all people, for all time, for all sin. This is why this Jesus has come into the world. God has epiphanied or revealed Him to us in His holy and precious Word. And now we, like the Magi, we come before Jesus, and really, the Magi had nothing to offer the King of the universe. They gave Him gifts. Gifts that signify that Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. Gifts that signify that Jesus is God. That Jesus is a king. That Jesus would die. All those things are true, but they're not specifically mentioned in our text. No. True worship hears the Word of God and believes it and then lives it. The Magi gave because they wanted to. Not because they had to. Not because they were forced to. And in the same way, we who have had our lives transformed by the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus, we want to give of ourselves. We want to be in God's house and hear His Word and receive His gifts. We want to do good works because they help our neighbor. We want to forgive and serve one another as Christ has freely forgiven and served us. This is the life of faith. Forrest Gump, after he said that he didn't know he was supposed to be looking for Jesus, heard Lieutenant Dan on the pity pot. He began to complain about his miserable lot in life and how everybody else was just saying if he would find Jesus, everything would be better. That he, with no legs, would one day walk with Jesus in heaven.